The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk. The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Listener, welcome back. Before we move on, I want to do a quick recap for those that don't have Patreon and need a brief refresh. At 12:06 in the morning on July 7, 2024, a 16-year-old named Julia Grace Egler called 911 from her home on Benchore Road Northwest in Palm Bay, Florida. She told the dispatcher a man had broken in, 5'8", a hammer from the backyard, a smashed back door. She said she had hidden in her bedroom with her two dogs. You remember the story by now, don't you? Today, you are going to hear the interrogation as well as further details, and you're going to get the actual audio. The voice of a 16-year-old sitting across from Palm Bay Police Department investigators, holding a narrative together the best she can. All right, let's get on with it.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
I was informed that you like to go by Jasper. Is that accurate? Because I don't want to, and what are your pronouns, if you don't mind me asking?
I usually go by he.
He? Okay.
So, obviously, it's been a couple of hours, so you've been with us, so I got to read you this thing, your rights first, and then we can go through everything with you and figure out what's going on.
A crime scene is a document. It is a stack of small, quiet statements written in glass and fabric, in the soles of shoes, in the angles of a fallen body, in spatter on a wall. Detectives read it the way an editor reads a manuscript. Listener. They look for places where the writing contradicts itself. They look for the sentences that do not belong. The first sentence that did not belong was the back door. The sliding glass door at the rear of the home had been shattered. And the shattering fit Julia's story at first glance, at least. A hammer in the yard, an intruder, forced entry. But when investigators examined the pattern of the glass on the floor, something was off. The distribution suggested the door had been broken outward or from inside, not from the outside, and that it had been broken after violence had already moved through the rest of the house, not before. Glass sitting on top of dried blood instead of underneath it. You get the idea. That is a small detail. In a courtroom, a small detail fires off like a cannon.
Do you know the argument as a reference?
I think I wanted to go to like the party or something and she didn't remind me about it. And I was mad at her for just going without me. I think something along those lines.
But you wanted to go out and have a good time too. It was like a birthday party?
Or? I think so, something like that.
So she comes home with him. And you wake up and you guys get into a little bit of a disagreement. You're expressing your frustrations, rightfully so. You wanted to go to this party. And she's expressing her frustrations back. What is she saying back to you?
Just this back and forth of, I did tell you, no, you didn't.
Okay. Yes. So what came of that?
I think she took my iPod and my phone, but before she left again, she gave it back so I'd be able to text her. Well, me and her would have a lot of arguments about things, especially over like me being trans. So she'd be like,
okay,
you're not a real boy and blah, 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 and all, you know, the whole spiel of transphobic stuff.
Okay.
But
she doesn't approve of your lifestyle, that you're, she doesn't approve of that.
Would you say
she was like trying to kind of meet me in the middle, but it wasn't really working all that well all the time. She would try to call me child instead of because it's more like gender neutral rather than kind of meeting in the middle, I guess.
The second sentence was the footprints. Bloody footprints moved through the living room and down the hallway toward the bathroom. Investigators compared the pattern and the size to the shoes that Kelly had worn that evening. No match. They compared it to the shoes Matthew had been wearing. No match. They compared it to the pair of shoes belonging to Julia. You guessed it. Match. The third sentence was the firearm. The weapon used in the killing was a .38 caliber special revolver. It had not been brought into the home. It had been in the home all along. It belonged to Kelly McCollum. She kept it in her bedroom. An intruder, in order to use that weapon, would have had to enter the home where a 16-year-old girl and two dogs were allegedly still awake, locate an adult's bedroom, find the revolver inside that room, load it, and then wait around for the homeowners to arrive. That is not how home invasions generally work. Home invaders tend to bring their own tools. They don't typically rely on the victims to provide them.
Is she misgendering you?
Yeah.
So when you guys are arguing, is she intentionally, you know, calling you she or not using the appropriate pronouns or not referring to you as Jasper and referring to you as Julia?
And like actually kind of being like, this is going to be kind of vulgar, but she'd be like, oh, you have breasts and a vagina and blood and all that, you know, all that kind of shoving in my face. And I'd yell back, I know, you don't think I know that? Because obviously it's kind of painful, because she would always say that, oh, they're dumb and stupid like that. No, it's not real. Even if you get the surgeries, it's not real and things like that.
Is that something you guys had discussed, getting surgeries and whatnot?
A lot, yeah. And she'd be like, oh, I don't want you to sew on a fake like that.
The fourth sentence was the weapon's location after the fact. The revolver was eventually recovered in the backyard, you see, lying in the grass. Specifically, it was found directly beneath the window of Julia's bedroom. A stranger who committed two murders and then fled through a back door would not logically double back and drop the weapon under the window of the surviving resident. The physical geography of that evidence was pointing inward, not outward.
Me and him didn't really talk a lot, it's a thing. We, like, were, like, kind of peaceful, but like
coexisting.
Coexisting, that's the word. We weren't friends, but like we weren't necessarily enemies either. It's kind of just whatever.
He's just a couple years older than you, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, I didn't like it. I mean, I don't really support their relationships, the thing, so I think that's the only kind of like tension that there was between us, because it would always be kind of awkward when it was just me and him in the house, because we wouldn't say to each other.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, I don't really want you here, and it was kind of obvious because I didn't support the relationship at all.
So circling back to the argument that you had today, she takes the iPod away and the phone. She ends up giving it back before she leaves. Where is she going? Or they, rather.
They went to go get a bed frame for her bed because she got tired of it being on the floor.
So what do you hear next after that?
Well, I hide, and then I'm just sitting there hiding, and the dogs are barking, and then I hear the glass shatter and come in, so I knew that it's probably him coming in.
The fifth sentence was the security footage. The property had cameras. Detectives pulled the footage. They watched the hours leading up to the 911 call. They watched the minutes, and they watched the seconds. They were looking for a man approaching the house, a figure cutting across the yard, a vehicle slowing down near the driveway, any trace of another person coming or going. The footage showed nothing, no approach, no stranger. The only motions recorded on those cameras in any way that mattered came from emergency vehicles arriving at the property after 911 was called.
What happened to your hand?
Oh, just an old scar.
Did you get into an accident or something?
One day I'd come home from doing whatever I was doing, and I forgot my key, and Mom was at home, so I just broke my window and got in.
You punched the window? There's no rocks or anything outside?
Not that I could find, but it's not like it's, like, hurting or anything. It's just still covering, I guess.
The sixth sentence was the knife. A chef's knife from the kitchen had been used on Matthew, not a knife an intruder had brought with him. The same way the gun had been the family's own gun. Every weapon at the scene had come from inside the home. Listener, I want you to imagine being one of those detectives. You have a sobbing teenage girl on a driveway, giving you a specific story. A man, a hammer, a back door, a locked bedroom, and every single thing in the house around you is telling you a completely different story. At first, nobody said any of this out loud. You do not when a girl in the driveway is crying and saying that her mother is dead. You keep her separated. You let her talk. You let her give you the story she wants you to have. And then you read the sentences the house reads aloud to you, because the house cannot lie. The house is made of material facts. The house tells you in glass and blood and lens footage exactly what it remembers.
After a while, when he's walking around, I can hear him like doing something, and then there's like a lot of like banging, and I hear like wood cracking and stuff. I think he kicked down the door to my mom's room.
How did you know it was them walking through the door?
I don't know, I guess I just assumed, because I think I heard their voices, or kind of. I couldn't say, like, tell what they were saying, but it was sounded like them, so I assumed it was them. And that's when I heard the loud, like, banging that I assumed was, like, gunshots or something, and yelling.
Who was yelling?
I think Matthew was yelling.
What was he yelling?
I think it was something along the lines of like stop or something.
You heard gunshots before?
Yeah.
And did it sound like gunshots to you?
Yeah.
Okay. And how many gunshots do you think you heard?
Like 5, 6-ish maybe. When I actually came out, the first thing I saw was blood on the ground.
Outside your bedroom door? Okay. Then what did you see next?
I looked to the left, and that's when I saw Matthew on the ground.
Did it look like he was breathing when you looked into the bathroom, Matt?
I think I could hear him faintly. Is like gurgling.
Okay.
Meanwhile, outside the perimeter, the community was already grieving. News had spread fast through the neighborhood and across social media. Vigils appeared near the home. Flowers were placed at the curb. Handwritten notes, candles. The story as it had traveled out still held Julia as a surviving victim. People spoke about her as a girl who had hidden in a bedroom with her dogs while a stranger killed her mother down the hall. That was the shape of the story that had taken place in the mind of the public. Inside the investigation, though, the shape of the story continued to change. The house had already answered detectives' questions. The remaining question was whether Julia would answer it too. She was brought in for further interviews. At first, she held to her story. She repeated the intruder, she repeated the hammer, she repeated the bedroom door. She adjusted small details under pressure, the way a story adjusts when it's not tethered to anything underneath.
And I remember at some point I went in my mom's room and saw that the door had been like, kind of looked like it had been like busted in. Again, I was checking to see if anything had been stolen when I saw the lockbox where I assume my mom kept most of my devices when she took them. And, you know, again, devices are expensive.
Such as?
Like my iPod or my phone that my dad had shut off, things like that.
Okay, so you saw those in there, so they hadn't been stolen.
Are these your AirPods?
And that gun that your mom has, the one that was missing, Have you ever touched that gun?
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Listener, after diving deep into another true crime story, I've been loving a little wind-down ritual at the end of the night. And that's exactly why I'm obsessed with Mood. Mood is the online spot for federally legal, hemp-derived cannabis grown on small, pesticide-free family farms right here in the U.S. They ship gummies, flower, edibles, pre-rolls, and more discreetly straight to your door. No lines, no hassle. They've got something for every vibe. Chill for sleep, focused for deep work, happy and euphoric when you just want to feel good, or even that extra spark for better sex. My go-to lately, their Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies. Super smooth, mind-soothing calm that kicks in fast and leaves me waking up clear. No grogginess. Perfect after a long day. And right now, first-time buyers get 20% off your entire order when you use my code OBSCURA at checkout. Head to mood.com, find the gummy, flower, or edible that matches your perfect mood, and save 20% off with code OBSCURA. Everything's backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. Go to mood.com/obscura and try it today.
That's what I used to get trained for my gun certificate.
The interviews went on for hours. Detectives began laying out findings piece by piece. The absence of an intruder on the security footage, the footprints matching, etc. And eventually, the story Julia Egler had told from that driveway began to come apart.
To be quite honest with you, we don't believe that this is how this happened, okay? All right, we've looked over this crime scene and there's things in this crime scene that's not adding up with what you're saying, okay? Because I don't believe the story about someone coming into the house. We looked at your surveillance camera, okay? We don't see nobody coming through that back door. We see your parents coming home through the front door. We see bloody footprints inside the dining room area in front of the rear sliding glass door underneath the glass. That blood should be on top of the glass. I'm asking you straight up, okay? Are you the reason why did you hurt your parents today, your mom and Matthew? And if you did, was there a reason why you had to do it?
Theoretically speaking, let's say what you're saying, that it was, theoretically speaking, let's say that it was me, right?
I'm gonna be honest with you. It's not really theoretical at this point. Everything he just stated to you is telling us that something happened that you're not telling us.
Now, you was just about to say, what if it was you that did this?
I'm saying theoretically.
Okay.
Theoretically what?
What?
You said that get it off your chest and whatever, but it's like, that's not how that works. It's...
Of course, it's not gonna go away that quick. It's not. But you give us a reason, because other people are gonna look at this interview and they're gonna wanna know, is this a monster over here or is this somebody who made a terrible mistake? Did you shoot your mom and Matthew today?
Well, you're basically saying that I did, so do you even need my answer?
Listener, this is the part of the episode where I tell you actually what happened inside that house. What has been going on? Not what was reported on the 911 call. Not what was sobbed to a detective in the driveway. Not even what was pieced together by the evidence in the house. The full story. Late in the evening of July 6th, while Kelly and Matthew were out of the house, Julia Egler went into her mother's bedroom. She took the .38 caliber special revolver. She loaded it. She also went into the kitchen and took a chef's knife. She put the knife in her pocket, she put the gun in her hand, and then she waited for her mother and her mother's boyfriend to come home. When Kelly and Matthew walked through the door, Julia greeted them in the kitchen. The words she used was, "Welcome home." She opened fire on her mother first. She shot Kelly McCullum multiple times in the living room area of their own house. The woman who had raised her, the 38-year-old single mother who had spent most of her adult life keeping the lights on and the pantry stocked, shot by her own child with her own gun in her own home. She then turned the revolver on Matthew. She shot him too, but he did not die immediately. He moved bleeding down the hallway, trying to get away from her in desperation. He made it as far as the bathroom. She followed him. When the revolver ran out of ammunition, she drew the chef's knife from her pocket and stabbed him. She stabbed him repeatedly. According to the account she gave later, Matthew at that point essentially asked her to end it. A man 22 years old, bleeding in a bathroom floor, understanding what was going to happen next. Julia left the bathroom. She walked back to her mother's bedroom. She loaded one more round into the revolver. She returned to the bathroom and she shot him in the head. Then she went to work on the scene. She took the hammer from the backyard. She went to the back sliding glass door. She shattered it from the inside. She scattered glass. She moved around the house in a way that would later leave her bloody footprints all through the living room and down the hallway. She took the revolver she had just used to kill two people, and she carried it to the backyard, and she dropped it in the grass under her own bedroom window. She put the chef's knife on the kitchen counter, almost as though she were done cooking dinner. And then, at 12:06 in the morning, she called 911. She gave the dispatcher a 5'8" male, a hammer, the whole story. She kept it up when the officers arrived. She kept it up in the driveway. She kept it up for hours inside of the interview room. She adjusted small details under questioning. When the officers started walking her through the evidence, the story finally broke. She admitted she had taken the revolver from her mother's bedroom. She admitted she had taken the knife from the kitchen. She admitted she had waited for them to come home. She admitted she had greeted them with those two words, "Welcome home." She admitted she had shot her mother first. She admitted she had shot Matthew. She admitted she had followed him into the bathroom. She admitted the stabbing, the reloading, the final shot, breaking the glass, staging the scene, calling 911, and playing the part of a terrified girl and victim. And then, listener, came the why. This is the part of the story where I need to ask you to slow down, because the tensions that had built inside that home are not going to be simple, and I do not want to reduce them to slogans. In the weeks leading up to July 2024, conversations between Kelly and Julia had been going badly. Julia was exploring her gender identity, at times using the name Jasper, and was asking to be understood as a boy. Kelly had struggled with this. Her responses, by most accounts, had been hesitation and pushback. Those conversations did not end cleanly. They led to raised voices, followed by stretches of silence that filled the house like a second kind of weather. Listener, I have to address something now. Because I've read mixed accounts online, some saying that Julia still identifies as a boy, some saying that she doesn't, I'm going to keep it simple for the sake of clarity and refer to Julia as a her. This is not some sort of political statement. It's just that I couldn't get down to brass tacks on that. And so, either way, don't take it as a statement, please. At the same time, Julia had been deeply opposed to her mother's relationship with Matthew. A 38-year-old woman dating a 22-year-old man is a scenario most teenagers will have something to say about. And Julia had a great deal to say. She did not approve. She voiced this openly. Arguments echoed through the living room. She told her mom that the man's age gap was as old as her. Words spoken that did not settle easily afterwards. This was the pressure Julia pointed to when investigators asked her why. The arguments over her identity, the arguments over Matthew, her mother's refusal to accept her as a boy, her disapproval of her mother's relationship, the resentment that had been climbing one degree at a time, week by week, until it crossed a line that cannot be uncrossed. At one point, during the questioning, captured on officers' body cameras, Julia said something that I suspect is going to stay with me for a while. She said, quote, "Me and my mom used to argue a lot. I should have told her I loved her." I want to pause here and listener. And this is going to be a delicate line to balance on. I'll just say this. The hurt Julia was carrying around her identity was real hurt. A teenager who is not being accepted at home is painful. Not being taken serious that way, being treated as a child that can't make tough decisions when you're a bit older, can be extremely painful. Now, at the same time, what I am not going to do, and what I am always going to do on this show, is refuse to let any of that serve as a pretext for what happened in that kitchen. Cultural temperature around this case tends to push people to pick teams the moment they hear the word identity, and I'm not going to let that happen here. The hurt Julia was carrying around for being misgendered and misunderstood by her mother was real, but that does not mean her mother deserved what happened in that kitchen. There is no ledger in which a parent's failure to use the right pronoun balances against being shot to death in her own living room. That is not a balance. That is not a scale. Lots of families have fights. Lots of teenagers disapprove of their parents' dating choices. Almost none of those situations end the way this one did. And the exceptions are not exceptions because of the tension. They're exceptions because of a choice that one person made at a specific hour of a specific night while everyone else in the house was still alive. Kelly McCollum did not get a chance to grow into a better understanding of Julia. She did not get the next 10 years. She did not get to apologize for doing anything wrong, or to be apologized to for the hurtful words Julia said to her. She was erased from the rest of her life by a teenager who spent the evening planning how to do it, and the next hour lying to the police about who had done it. And let's talk Matthew Shinerock, 22 years old, dating an older woman, a man whose involvement in the house was recent enough that he did not have a deep role in any of the arguments the killer would later cite as her response. A man who, in the final minutes of his life, bleeding in a bathroom, still found the voice to ask his killer for mercy. He got stabbed with a chef's knife and shot in the head by a 16-year-old who walked back to her mother's bedroom, opened the cylinder of a revolver, put one round into it, and walked back down the hallway to finish what she started. That is not the description of a person lashing out in a moment of chaos. That is the description of a person making a decision and executing a bystander to an argument he had no standing in. I have said this before on this show, and I will say it again. I know what it is to carry real hurt. I know what it is to grow up in a house where the person who is supposed to protect you did not. I know that none of that gives a person the right to pick up a gun and empty it into the people around them. The line between pain and violence is a line that every human being crosses or does not cross on their own. A lot of teenagers have parents who do not accept them. A lot of teenagers have parents whose new partners they hate. The vast majority of those teenagers go through all of it without ever going into their mother's bedroom for a loaded revolver. That is not an accident. It was a choice. And Julia made a different choice. She made it in full. She made it with planning. And she made that choice twice. The legal process moved quickly. The 18th Judicial Circuit State Attorney's Office announced that it would pursue prosecution of Julia Egler as an adult. A Brevard County grand jury returned an indictment on two counts of first-degree premeditated murder. Under Florida law, and under a ruling from the United States Supreme Court, Julia is not eligible for the death penalty because of her age at the time of the crime. She was transferred from the Juvenile Detention Center to the Brevard County Jail, where she awaits further proceedings. And so, yes, the case remains active. Julia Grace Egler is in custody. The courts will continue to weigh her actions, her age, her statements, her motive, her staging, her confession. Whatever the outcome, two people are not coming back. The house on Benchore Road will keep standing. The palm trees will keep leaning. Interstate 95 still hums in the distance. Life on that street will move forward. But the address is marked now, for anyone who knows the story. It's not just another home. It's the place where a teenager said, "Welcome home," and then erased two people from the rest of the world. Kelly McCollum was 38 years old. Matthew Shinerock was 22 years old. Remember them first. The name of the person who took their lives can come second. That is how it should always be on a show like this one. Thank you for listening, and keep the fire burning.
Quality proteins aren't just for special occasions. With Omaha Steaks, you get mouth-watering proteins delivered right to your door, individually packaged and portioned, so a great dinner is just minutes away. From Taco Tuesday to a weekend feast, taste the Omaha Steaks difference. Start getting flavorful proteins delivered today. Visit omahasteaks.com and get $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.